You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-fits-all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's clothing that bolsters your brand identity and creates a unique connection between your brand, your employees, and your customers. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a supplier of branded apparel to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help you and your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action. From logo application to online ordering, Lands' End Outfitters offers seamless solutions that give you peace of mind, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code POD20 for 20% off your first product.
The Football Show
on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch Premier League, Women's Super League, EFL, Scottish Premiership and much more. Live on Sky Sports.
I'm prepared to anything I can to play again.
What about your start to the game?
It wasn't bad, was it?
Why should an honest answer be a mistake?
How can a modern day manager not have a mobile phone?
Why should he?
Now, you're very welcome back. So, really excited to chat to our next guest who's having a fairly extraordinary adventure. I think it's fair to say Roberto Lopez of Shamrock Rovers and Cape Verde, African Cup of Nations, is very much progressing, and there is an Irishman out there. I'm sure lots of you have seen his Irish Independent Diary, for instance, which is a great read. Roberto, thanks so much for the time. I'm sure you're busy. It's great to have you on the show.
No problem at all, Joe. I'm just busy watching Senegal actually here, so forgive me if I tune out at all if they score. Hopefully they do us a favour against Malawi.
Yes, well, actually bring us up to date then. So, I mean, you started the tournament very well and there was a 1-1 draw with the host, Cameroon. Where are we with regard to knockout stages and all the various mathematics, I'm sure, going on at the moment?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm finding the different permutations very hard to sort of decipher. I just know if there's two sort of tour place teams worse off than us, that's just true. But I think if Senegal beat Malawi now, that'll put them on less points than ourselves. And then I think we'd need Ghana to draw or lose, or Morocco to beat, I think it's Gabon, by at least two goals. Like, so yeah, there's so many different ways that it can be done. I'm just hoping that's done.
Well, fingers crossed. I really get the sense from many interviews I've heard you doing over the last couple of weeks and reading the diaries as well, you're absolutely loving this wonderful, strange adventure.
Yeah, it's fantastic. As I say, it probably started off like a bit like all over the place because COVID obviously ran rampant through our camp and it disrupted so many plans. And even when we arrived here, it still didn't go away. Like, but once the football started and the tournament started, it's been fantastic. And as I say, I'm loving every minute of it. And it's something that I feel that like us as a group, we've grown and grown as the day's gone by. Like I say, we've sort of grown confidence during the game, showed our quality. Like, and just as a group, we're getting really close together, spending this much time together, and it's just it's one of a lifetime experience.
If you don't mind, just for a moment, because I know you've told your story a little bit before, but we might just briefly bring anybody who hasn't heard it up to date. You were born to Irish mother, father from Cape Verde. I think he left there when he was 16. Cape Verde, for people not entirely sure, is about 400 miles off the African coast. It's in the Atlantic. Beautiful islands, I'm sure. I've never been. And so I guess knocking around Crumlin 90s and early 2000s, you love your football, you're on a similar underage team to the likes of Matt Doherty, John Egan, Jeff Hendrick, you make your way in the League of Ireland, and well, I guess the point here is always double check your LinkedIn emails.
Yeah, exactly, don't leave any stone unturned. No, yeah, like it was crazy to say. Like growing up, you always have like sort of prank phone calls and prank messages and that. Like, and you don't know what's genuine and not. Like, and even when I set up LinkedIn, like it was more just for college, and I connected with a lot of college classmates through it. Like, and if you connected with someone else, you'd normally get like a standard sort of greeting message. So that happened when I connected with the manager at the time, really Argwish. And yeah, I'm just so grateful that he didn't see me as being completely rude. Wrote back to me again and gave me the benefit of the doubt, and yeah, it's just been taking off since then.
Yeah, in your defence, his first message was in Portuguese.
yeah, it was in Portuguese that I'm learning at the moment, but still not perfect, and it was nowhere near perfect back then. So, to be fair, that's the excuse I'm sticking to it. I wasn't ruled.
I think that's fair. Most of us barely look at our emails in English these days. So this was 2018 territory. You were maybe, what, 25 years of age, and you made your debut in 2019. At that stage, Roberto, had your father talked to you a lot about Cape Verde? Were you very much in touch with your heritage? Like, I'm wondering almost, had it even occurred to you to reach out to Cape Verde and see if they might be interested? You know, I know they reached out to you in the end. What was your relationship with the country, maybe for a lot of your teens and early 20s?
Yeah, no, look, I've always been familiar with Cape Verde. So I've been there on holiday when I was younger, like, and obviously my dad always speaks about Cape Verde and the family that I still have down there. I probably didn't know too much about the culture and the heritage down to my own sort of ignorance, not asking enough questions or listening when I was younger. But even at that, I still knew a good bit about it. And now I'm just I'm loving just every day learning something new, whether it's the music, whether it's trying some new food, or just the way they go about life here. I'm completely just enthralled with all this sort of the culture and the heritage. I just keep wanting to learn more.
Yeah, I suspect there must be moments where your dad is saying, "We played that song in the house all the time. How have you only heard it now?"
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? The music is a big thing over here. Where we're going to train, going to matches, or just around the hotel. And there was one song when we were going to play Nigeria in the World Cup qualifier, and I was like, I've heard this song before. This is the song that's played at home. And I went home then after that, and I was digging out all the CDs that you had of the Cape Verdean songs, and I couldn't find it. And it was only then when I came back on this trip, I asked one of the guys. I tried to sing what I thought were the words, and he miraculously got the song. We found the song, and I've been listening to it ever since.
So debut in 2019, I mean, you've played all six of the World Cup qualifiers thus far. You must be increasingly very settled. I think you're kind of into double digits caps now for Cape Verde. Have you found the standard of football, for instance? I'm sure that was on your mind when you're making the leap up to international football.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't say I'm settled now by any means. I say we've got a really good talented squad and a lot of really good defenders. I think as the tournament showed yesterday, we had Danae make his first appearance, and for me, didn't put a foot wrong. The quality and the standard has been really good. I liken it to a lot of the European games that I was looking up to play in for Rovers when they come up against really top opposition. And I suppose when you're in this environment, you're constantly on the edge of wanting to improve, and you're always alert in your game, whether it's in training matches or the game comes, you have to be at your best. And I think being at that level for so long, you start to develop. It's a level that I'm trying to stay at and constantly improve.
Well, you're certainly adapting to it very, very well. For people who've missed out on some of the results, it started off brilliantly with a win against Ethiopia, then there was a loss, and then the 1-1 draw with Cameroon, tournament hosts. I didn't see this game. I'd be curious to see what the atmosphere was like playing against the tournament hosts. But it's worth letting people as well know that you were the man of the match, which is, an amazing thing. I would have thought in Cameroon, no matter what happens, someone in the Cameroon jersey is getting man of the match. So that went up on a big screen, I was reading in the Irish Independent. That went up on the whole stadium. So you must have had that amazing moment, the surreal one.
Yeah, it was completely surreal because I didn't realise it. Like I said, I thought Danae, who played beside me, was unbelievable. I remember him coming to the pitch after the game because I think he went off a little bit of a niggle, and I said, Danny, you're unbelievable, you're my man in the match. And he goes, "No, Pico, man in the match." And he goes, no, don't be silly, Danny. And he goes, "No, you're on the screen." So he sort of turned me around and pointed to me name. I was just started laughing, I couldn't believe it. Honestly, I'm just more proud of the team performance yesterday. To come up against the host and come back from a goal down to get a goal back and get back into the game and hang on when it's back against the wall. And you have the whole crowd against you. The crowd were unbelievable, but you could just sense that every time Cameroon attacked, you weren't just facing 11 men on the pitch, you were facing everyone else in the stadium.
I can imagine.
But it was fantastic. I said it to someone yesterday, even walking out when we were doing the warm-up, once Cameroon came out, the noise in the stadium was absolutely incredible. And it felt like we were going to war. Like, and I was just looking to the rest of my teammates and saying, yeah, like, this is what it's about. This is why we're here, why we play football for moments like these. And we just sort of embraced it. And we knew if we stuck together, we could get a result, which we did.
Amazing. That must compare very well with any atmosphere you've ever played in before.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I know it's fresh in my head, but I can't think of any better. Like, and even the stadium itself, I don't think I've played in a better stadium. It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, for me, like, it's yeah, probably one of the best games to be a part of.
Listen, I guess it says something about your mentality. You played very well in it, you know. So there's a sink or swim element, and some get adrenaline, others cower. You've obviously really responded to it, which is brilliant. And you know, in terms of the quality and the opposition and the crowd, there's also the conditions to contend with. So, you know, I dare say in Crumlin, the heat and the humidity wasn't what you're facing at the moment. So what's been that, what's that been like, trying to perform when you're coming from a dark Irish winter?
Yeah, like it's very tough. I say I experienced it a lot, like during the World Cup qualification, where we had 1 o'clock kickoffs in Ghana, which in the middle of the summer, like, which is far from ideal. So yeah, I knew that, like, I need to be prepared for that coming over here, and making sure that I was hydrated well. Like, and I think as well, the sort of training camp we had before in Cape Verde, just to get accustomed to the heat of training, that, like, it made it a little bit easier. But once you get in the stadium, then again, it's like a sauna. Like, so you just have to sort of try to relax. You know you're going to be tired, you know you're going to be gasping for air and looking for a drink at every opportunity, and you need to take them opportunities to get fluids on boards and obviously manage your energy, manage your game, that you're not just chasing the ball around for 90 minutes. You have to show the braveness and bravery to go on the ball and play and keep it when you're being pressed. Like, so I think it's probably one of the things that you overlook coming into these competitions, and not just the quality and all that, it's the conditions and everything off the pitch that you have to sort of deal with as well.
You're probably losing weight in the 90 minutes, are you? I seem to remember Graeme Souness back in the, now maybe it's different back in the day, but he was losing 7-8 pounds at Mexico 86 in a game.
Yeah, well, I haven't actually weighed myself when I started or beforehand, but probably now when I go back to Ireland, back to Shamrock Rovers, and they put me through the machines. But I'd be surprised if it's not. Like, as I say, I'm trying really hard after games and trying to get the fluids on board. Like, but I think just a constant sort of running around that heat, like, it's hard to keep the weight on, which is not a bad complaint to have.
Yeah, listen, we'd all take that in January. And you and your teammates then, so this, excuse the ignorance, you get the initial email in Portuguese. What is the predominant dialect there? Are you able to chat in English with everyone, or are you picking up enough to get by, or how have you settled in that respect?
Yeah, so like the language that everyone uses when we're together is Creole, just like a mixture of Portuguese and Cape Verde's own language.
Right.
But there's plenty of lads here that speak English. So I'm allowed to have a conversation with lads, and you have your sort of French element of the squad. They speak French together, and Dutch, you speak Dutch together. Like, but say when everyone's together at meetings and like a rat table, the mixed group, it's all Creole. And it's very difficult to sort of learn Creole if you haven't picked up when you were younger, because it's not a real sort of resources like on Google where you can just find someone giving out lessons. But it's one of them you learn on the job, and I am trying to pick up bits and pieces here. Like, and on the pitch, I only speak Creole, which I feel is important.
I'm even happier seeing Karen's face on screen, so it's just beautiful.
Keep up to date with the latest WSL action and the biggest interviews.
I just love moving teams, and then you have to do an initiation. Just love that moment in the sort of limelight.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig podcast stream on the OTV Sports app now.
You mentioned the COVID outbreak, I think, at the beginning of the tournament. As I understand it, you weren't even able to play warm-up games, which makes the initial win against Ethiopia all the more impressive. And your coach missed that game. He was trying to conduct pre-match affairs through WhatsApp. This sounds unbelievably difficult. So the spectre of COVID is looming large, I would think. I wouldn't think the vaccination rate is as good as it should be in Africa, more so because of Western world hogging it, I would think. So that's a big factor in this tournament.
Yeah, 100%. And like, as far as we knew, it was going to be a factor coming in here, and every team will have its dose. Like, and we probably got it at a good time, even though, yeah, like, it kind of dismantled our sort of preparations. But the fact that the majority of the squad got down there, that we could sort of get over it and then just like refocus for the tournament rather than having like say 9 or 10 people missing out. Like, but yeah, it was crazy to say like not have a warm up game even going into the tournament. Just sort of it just adds to the nervousness because like I hadn't played since November. And you're sort of wondering, Jesus, like, am I all right to play here? How far am I off it? Like, or like it's just sort of trying to gauge a game, like, and throw the nerves of the competition on that, like, and it's a sort of scrappy fourth night, which the game was, and that's why I was just so related to win, because when everything's like that, I'm not the only person in that position, but everything's like that, like, your preparations are spoiled. There's players still in Cape Verde because of COVID, and your manager's not there. You just want to get 3 points on the board, and you sort of, you can kind of growing the competition then, and look, we have as well, like, and hopefully we can stay in it, like.
And have you managed to avoid COVID?
Yeah, I have, thank God. There's obviously a combination of loads of things. I was lucky enough to get a booster a week before I left for Cape Verde, so that's obviously stood to me in good stead, like. And I've been lucky enough to avoid it. Two of my roommates that I shared a room with both came down with it, so I'm blessed.
Wow, amazing. And are you able to get out and about and go for a walk around the streets outside the hotel and get to see a bit of Cameroon?
No, not at all. Like I say, you're in your bubble in your hotel. Like, as far as we have a pool that's a bit open air, I've gone down there a few times just to get a bit of fresh air and just like walk around the hotel, like, and that, like, and chatting to lads, like, but that's the unfortunate thing about COVID, like, and it's not just not here in Africa, it's everywhere. Just you're unfortunately limited to doing only a couple of things, like, but look, we're here to play football, so it's probably best that we don't have the distractions.
I think we probably over here fail to appreciate the scale of how big the African Cup of Nations is around Africa, obviously enough. I mean, the equivalent to the Euros here, which kind of grips the entire continent. Have there been any moments where the scale of the thing hit you? It must be all over TV, all over media. It must be the biggest show in town. I mean, you're kind of at the epicenter of it in a way that you never can be when you're watching from afar in Ireland.
Yeah, I think going to the, like, obviously from day one, you sort of sense that, like, the day before the game against Ethiopia was really, like, sort of tense. You could feel the atmosphere kind of growing, and then the day of it. But I suppose, like, when we were going to play Burkina Faso, Cameroon were playing Ethiopia before that. So everyone was out on the streets, in bars, watching the game. And when we were travelling, Cameroon scored to make it, I think it was 2-1, and everyone was start running out screaming and shouting, dancing around, blowing the vuvuzelas on the horns, and like, you just kind of you just know, like, that this means the world to people, like. And then obviously going into the stadium again, you feel the energy off it. Yeah, and it's unbelievable. It's like, I always used to watch the African Cup of Nations, so I was well aware what a big tournament it was, and it's always a great value for entertainment.
You must be getting great support from home. So, for instance, I saw Aaron Green, your Shamrock's teammate, he sent you a photo of his daughter wearing a Cape Verde jersey, which is a nice touch. And then, for your dad, this must be incredible. It's such a pity he can't get over to watch you with everything going on, but I presume you and him have had some cool moments over the last couple of years.
Yeah, look, it's been brilliant. I've been absolutely overwhelmed with all the support that I've got from home, like, from family and friends, like, and just even random people who just wish me luck. Like, it's absolutely fantastic, like, and I really am grateful. Like, yeah, and like, my family, as you say, my dad is super proud, you say. Like, he's getting messages from back home in Cape Verde, off uncles, my granddad, speaking to them every day, like, and they're just also proud, like. And yeah, look, it would have been great if we went down to the game. Obviously COVID has sort of annihilated them plans, but we did come to a game down in South Vicente, one of the World Cup qualifiers in Cape Verde earlier on the year, and that was a really memorable moment for him and myself. Like you say, like, it was great for him to come to Cape Verde, and just like he was wearing one of the jerseys as well, and he was treated like a VIP when he was told when he told people that I was his son, like, and I was playing for the team, like. So it was great for him to have that moment as well, like.
Yeah, no, that's great, because I guess generally, you know, here we have a lot of, I think Kevin Kilbane, who's been here in the show loads of times and represented Ireland because of a parent and loved the country and felt such pride in doing that. I think a big part for him was representing the parent as well and thinking of the parent. So you'd have a real understanding now of what it's like to, you're doing it for yourself. It must be great to play international football, I'm sure. But there must be a real degree of, God, I'm doing this for my dad out here as well, I would think.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, I've done it for my father, I've done it for my grandfather, I've done it for my heritage. It's like, I've always been aware that, like, I'm half Cape Verdean, like, and it's great to be able to, like express that now, like, and just take it all in, like, and even now, like, playing with the lads, like, I knew from day one when they arrived here, like, and after I did my initiation song, like, I was just made feel so welcome here, and
yeah,
all the lads back here, like, and like, I consider these my family now as well, like, so I mean, it was never the case of who's this outsider or whatever. They just welcome me with open arms, and just the bond has grown stronger ever since.
Yeah. Well, sorry, as you rightly say, you know, you're half Cape Verdean yourself, so it's almost connecting with that side of yourself a little bit, because that's just not an easy thing to do when you're in knocking around Dublin in the 90s and 2000s. Like, you know, it's a long way away. It's not like going down the country to where the grandparents are in Mayo or something. So it's a different kind of a thing. So has there been any change in the result there? Do you know if you're through the knockout stages? We really picked our moment here where you're kind of on edge.
Yeah, I was actually just watching Malawi were breaking into the box there with some good defending, so it's still nil all in this game. As I said, we won't know until I think Morocco play later on at 8 o'clock. We won't know until after that if we've done enough.
Okay.
Tonight it might go on to Wednesday, it might even go on till Thursday before we know, like, but yeah, as I say, it's nearly half time here, it's nil all, so hopefully Malawi tire out or something, but they look good here on the counter attack.
Is the COVID bubble tough? Are you finding a lot of time in the hotel starting to become a bit of a chore, or is it okay?
You have your days, I suppose. You have your days where they seem really long, maybe particularly after games where you can't really do much because you're trying to recover, like, and just you are stuck in the hotel a bit, not even getting out for training. But no, it's not been too bad, really. Like you say, we know, like, you're kind of used when you go away on trips anyway. The COVID, you're not really going to be out and about running around the town, like, you're kind of putting the feet up as well, like, so and we catch up a lot of Netflix shows and and whatnot, like, and obviously watching other games, like, so yeah, you might have one or two days where it's like, I'd love just to go out for a walk, like, but then, you know, it passes really quickly, and so everyone's here together, like, have a laugh, like, as well, so you're never short of entertainment.
Yeah, and one last point, it's worth stating, people mightn't be aware, for Cape Verde, they're about 72nd in the world, I was having a look, and this is it's just their third African Cup of Nations, so presumably all pretty excited, however many hundreds of miles away, watching on from afar. Are you managing to get word from there, from, I don't know, president, government, like, is there kind of a link with Cape Verde, and get, are you able to get a sense of the excitement there? Cause it,
yeah, you know. 100%. You say we have a media fellow, Bruno, runs the federation sort of social media, and there's another fellow, Ignacio, he runs an Instagram page, a Facebook page called Cabo Verde Sua Gente, which is Cape Verde for the people. Like, and he's been on loads of our trips, and he basically does a lot of coverage and TV for people back home, like, and right, it's sort of through them pages, like, and he'll share stuff from pages back home and people back home with the group, like, and on his social media, so you do get a sense of, like, how much it means to everybody and what the reaction is back home. And as you say, you're getting, like, follow requests from big people in Cape Verde, like DJs or successful people that made it well, and just so happy to see the team doing well and everyone performing well, like, and look, the Cape Verdeans love their football, like, and they're just so proud to have the squad representing them.
Okay, brilliant. Listen, we've got to organise this Republic of Ireland Cape Verde friendly at some stage.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Maybe not in Dublin, maybe down in Cape Verde.
Yeah, you know, I think we'd all travel to that, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
Listen, Roberto Lopez, Shamrock Rovers and Cape Verde in the middle of the African Cup of Nations, thanks so much for taking the time out to chat to us. Great to hear you're enjoying it and playing very well as well, and hopefully we see you in the knockout stages.
Yeah, please God, thanks very much, Joe, for having us on.
Speak cheers to you soon. Thanks a million. Roberto Lopez there, great to have him on the show, and our football coverage as ever is with thanks to Sky, where you can watch the weekend's biggest Premier League games.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one size fits all branded clothing? Lands End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's clothing that bolsters your brand identity and creates a unique connection between your brand, your employees, and your customers. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a supplier of branded apparel to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help you and your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action. From logo application to online ordering, Lands' End Outfitters offers seamless solutions that give you peace of mind, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code POD20 for 20% off your first product.